And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Cormery. Juneau cruise ship passengers could fit a big chunk of the bill for a new integrated convention center and performing arts venue. City officials and the cruise industry have drafted an agreement that would allow up to $10 million in the cruise ship passenger taxes to help pay for what's being called the Capital Civic Center. The Juneau Assembly is slated to approve a resolution authorizing the arrangement at its regular meeting tonight. Bob Bangart is the executive director of what's called The Partnership, a local nonprofit that's originally began raising funds for a standalone replacement for the aging Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Juneau voters shot down a grant request for that proposed facility, called the New Jack, in 2019. The Capital Civic Center concept has support from groups that weren't supportive of the New Jack. It's got a ballpark cost of about $75 million, and the partnership doesn't intend to ask the city and borough of Juneau to pay for any more of that.
If it all comes to pass in the process that we've been pursuing, there wouldn't be any subsequent contribution from CBJ. They've already done what they said they're going to do.
That is, the city is working on voter-approved renovations to Centennial Hall. Those improvements are compatible with the Capital Civic Center concept.
What we're doing as a nonprofit is bringing a complement to that effort and the money from a number of sources that aren't necessarily the city.
Banghart says philanthropic donors will help pay for it. And because it will be wholly owned by the city, there's potential for federal funding. He thinks they're in a good position to start and finish the project in the next 3 to 4 years. Bangart says the cruise industry is become supportive because it needs indoor space. Small cruise lines and tour operators could use rooms there as a beginning and end point for their activities. Bangart says a mini Pike Place market of local vendors there would be an attraction for visitors. And Bangart says the pandemic has shown its valuable space for large-scale emergencies. You can follow the assembly meeting tonight live beginning at 7 p.m. through Zoom, YouTube, or hosted coverage on KTOO 104.3 FM. The Alaska Board of Fisheries meeting on Southeast regulatory changes is in full swing in Anchorage, but there's still a vacancy on the board 40 days after the governor was supposed to appoint a successor. That may pose issues at the two-week meeting, where the only coastal member of the board, Petersburg's John Jensen, says he will likely have to recuse himself for more than a third of the 150-odd proposals due to conflicts of interest. Passing a proposal requires 4 votes on the 7-person, as KFSK reports. If Jensen or another member has to sit out or a board member is sick, the board will be down to just 5 voting members. Proponents of a change would have to convince 4 of the 5 remaining, or 80%, to pass a proposal. The vacant Board of Fisheries seat was left open after board member Indy Walton resigned earlier this year, citing personal commitments and a spate of bad health. He sat on the board for 4 months and was never formally confirmed to the position by the state legislature. With Walton's seat still unfulfilled more than 70 days after it was vacated, it's the second time in a row the seat has gone unfulfilled past the legal 30-day deadline for appointing a replacement. Before Walton was nominated to the board, the position sat open for 115 days, even though Walton had applied for the seat soon after the legislature rejected a controversial nominee from the position. The board fish members are nominated by the governor and confirmed by the legislature. A spokesperson for Governor Mike Dunleavy said in an email Thursday that the administration is still taking applications for the vacancy and that the governor intends to pick a qualified nominee, quote, as soon as possible. Dunleavy's office has not responded to a request for information about applicants to the open Board of Fisheries seat submitted March 10th. After the Southeast Board of Fisheries meeting wraps up on March 22nd, the board is scheduled to begin a statewide meeting on shellfish and salmon on March 26th. Congress passed a $1.5 trillion bill on Thursday to boost military spending, keep the government operating, and send aid to Ukraine. The catch-all bill also renews the Violence Against Women Act, with a pilot program to boost the power of Alaska tribal courts. Senator Lisa Murkowski and Congressman Don Young voted for the legislation, but Senator Don Sullivan voted no. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin explains why.
Michelle Demert nervously watched online as the U.S. Senate voted on the big spending package that includes the renewal of the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. Demert is the law and policy director for the Alaska Native Women's Resource Center.
When I saw the overwhelming support, you know, we my phone exploded. I was sending out emails, tweets, everything. You know, we were all just so elated because we've worked so hard on educating about the Violence Against Women Act generally, but also specifically the Alaska Tribal Public Safety Empowerment Act.
That part of the bill allows up to 30 Alaska tribes to prosecute domestic violence offenders in tribal courts, even if the offender is non-native. It was in a bill Murkowski drafted in December. Congressman Young sponsored a similar provision in the House. But Senator Sullivan never said publicly whether he supports the pilot program to expand tribal jurisdiction. The publication Roll Call reported that Sullivan held up the bill Thursday because he objected to something in the VAWA bill. Sullivan says that wasn't it.
My hold was exclusively on trying to get more time.
In a call with reporters the afternoon after the vote, Sullivan said he was frustrated with the process. In what's become the norm, congressional leaders rolled a dozen annual spending bills into an omnibus package, along with a few other bills. The final version was huge and emerged barely a day before the Senate vote.
A bill that is over 2,700 pages, less than or almost little over 24 hours to read. I was delaying some things because, believe it or not, I was trying to get through the whole bill with my team.
In a written statement after his no vote, a Sullivan spokesman said Sullivan generally supports getting more legal capacity into Native communities and was working on technical corrections with Senator Murkowski to the VAWA section of the bill, but ran out of time to have them considered. It's a funny position for Sullivan to be in, voting against a bill that has a lot of elements he likes, like a big boost in defense spending. In years past, he railed against Democrats for holding up bills that had money for U.S. troops. But Sullivan's approach to this spending bill was different from Murkowski's and Young's from the start. The other two took advantage of a provision that allows lawmakers to, again, request earmarks. Once the bill passed, Murkowski and Young issued long lists of Alaska projects the bill funds, projects that they inserted in the bill. Sullivan, though, was among several Republican senators who did not submit any earmark requests. The final Senate vote on the spending package was 69-31, sending the bill to the president. The House passed the bill Wednesday night by a wide margin. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Officials with ConocoPhillips are still trying to determine the source of an ongoing natural gas leak reported at a North Slope oil drill site earlier this month. The company says a subsurface gas leak was first reported at the Alpine site early in the morning on Friday, March 4th. By March 7th, the company relocated 300 of the site's roughly 400 workers. The site is currently not producing oil. ConocoPhillips External Affairs Vice President Ben Stevens says there so far have been zero injuries or impacts to the local tundra and wildlife from the leak.
We continue to assess the cause of the release, and we will continue to keep the regulatory agencies informed of our progress.
Stevens spoke during a short community update for the village New Ixit this Monday afternoon, where he did not take any questions. Inupiaq community is roughly 8 miles south of the Alpine site where the leak occurred. Officials with the city did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Stevens says no gas has been detected outside of the site area. He says while the amount of gas released is not known at this time, the rate of release has been reduced.
Our mitigation effort to reduce the gas release volumes to very small amounts has been successful, as evaluated by aircraft and UAV floor assessment of the surface gas monitoring.
The Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is currently investigating the leak. Officials with the commission say they won't comment on the leak during their investigation. Today, the state reported another 36 new cases of COVID-19 for Juneau. Those are the total new cases from the past 3 days, but they don't include results from today or home tests. Three Bartlett Regional Hospital staff members are out due to illness from the virus. There is currently one patient being treated for COVID-19 at the hospital. Statewide, another 511 Alaskans and visitors to the state have tested positive since Friday. There are currently 51 people being treated for COVID in hospitals around the state. This is KTOO.